We are God's chosen people, part of the body of Christ. God calls his people for special purpose. As the Apostle Peter says, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. In order to share this light of salvation with the world, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to us. These gifts enable members of the body to work together to accomplish God's purpose. It is easy to think that we were working together effectively, especially when things seem to be going smoothly. But sometimes we need to take a close look at the body to see if what lies below the surface corresponds with our perception. That is precisely what Apostle Paul is doing in today's sermon text. He provides several checks that help us evaluate how we are doing. Paul reminds us that whenever one part of the body suffers, every part of the body suffers. And when one part of the body rejoices, every part of the body rejoices. As God's people, we are part of a body. There are many ways that the body suffers. There are fellow Christians in Afghanistan, China, Iran, North Korea, who are in prison because of their faith. Christians in other parts of the world suffer because they do not enjoy the basic necessities of life. Closer to home, an elderly man in the congregation gets pneumonia and enters a hospital. A family in the congregation unexpectedly loses a loved one. A member of the congregation serves as a primary caretaker for an ailing spouse or partner, or another member is informed that she is behind on her rent and that there will be eviction from her apartment. These are all examples of how the body can suffer. Maybe at this point we should ask, if one part of the body, do we all really suffer? Is that what really happens? Or do we tend to ignore or forget or leave the problem to somebody else? Perhaps the church is too big, too many members who don't know each other's circumstances very well. Or perhaps we are too small, lacking the necessary vision to understand how God wants us to live as members of one body. When one part of the body rejoices, do we all rejoice together? Or do we jealously and every prevent of a real sharing of joy? We know exactly how our physical bodies work. If one part of the body suffers, the rest of it suffers as well. If my back or tooth or tongue or my throat gets sores, then the rest of the body knows and understands and is forced to compensate. The real symphony and concern to perfect and to help others, that part suffer. But what about the body of Christ, the church? Does the body respond with the same compassion and care and sympathy for the parts that are suffered as physical body does? Sometimes death creates that pulling together, that empty compassion, but about a person who is dying slow, death of old age or chronic disease, is there the same compassion and concern and actual suffering in that situation? If we are honest and admit, in many circumstances, the body of the church does not respond with the same care and concern, then we must ask, why not? Perhaps we do not have the same sense of unity that exists in a physical body. Perhaps we are too distant, too cut off from one another, too uninformed about each other's needs and problems to be deeply involved in each other's concerns and cares. Perhaps we are too self-centered, too concerned about the needs of others because we are wrapped up in our own concerns. All of this is another way is talking about sin. Sin is a power or force that intrudes into every aspect of our existence. It breaks down and disrupts the relationship that we would all like to build with one another around us. It clouds our unity, restricts the light that we are called to be radiant, and darkens the intensity of the witness to the world. And in the same season of Epiphany, we are concerned about how we reflect God's light in the world. Anything that darkens our witness is a cause for major concern. We are called to be the light of the world. Cannot reflect the light of God's love when sin is tarnished, the reflection surface of our personal relationships with one another. If we do not suffer together, then when one part of the body suffers, how can we rejoice, witness, grow, share, celebrate, worship, and serve together as part of Christ's world? In the midst of our self-centeredness, our concern for ourselves, and our ability to demonstrate perfect love and compassion for each other, God sent his Son, Jesus, to demonstrate his great love for all of us. God sent Jesus to suffer in our place, to suffer on behalf of all people, to bear the sins of the world on the cross for our salvation. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that the suffering Jesus bore was not the suffering inflicted by the Roman soldiers or the Jewish crowds, but the suffering was rendered by God because of all of our sins. Surely, he was taking up our weakness, and he was carrying our suffering. We thought it was because of God's, he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. But it was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt of our sins deserved, the punishment that brought us peace upon him, and his wounds were healed. It was the will of God to place our punishment on Jesus. It was the will of God that Jesus suffer on our behalf. Jesus came to demonstrate God's gracious love for all people. He loves us in our unlovable, in our pride, in our greed, and in our selfishness. He loved us enough to pour out his life to die on the cross for our sins. He came at the light not only to expose the darkness of our lives and the darkness of our relationship, but to heal, restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And in that healing and restoring of that most important relationship, he made it possible for us once again to live in love and concern for one each other. He came to call us into a new fellowship that is centered in his life, in the love he demonstrates for us. God sent his Son into the world to demonstrate the selflessness and giving the sharing takes for his body's function. By giving himself for us, Jesus demonstrates the kind of people he wants us to be. He demonstrates to the world the love that moved the Father to send him in our place. This sharing and suffering does not come easy to people who have been locked by their sinful nature into patterns of existence that's primarily centered around the self. It is not easy for us to change the way we live, the way we act, and the way we give ourselves. But God gives us just more than just an example of his Son. He gives us the same love that moved him to send his Son. That love's working in our lives gradually changes us into the people that he has called us to be. His love for us motivates and power we need to bear each other's burdens, to share each other's weaknesses, problems, and sorrow. His love enables us to rejoice together. It enables us to reflect the light he has given to us, his people. A light that he wants us to share with the world. Only when we are truly one body working together can we let the light shine the way he wills. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When we demonstrate the same love he shows for us, we truly begin to reflect his light in a world of darkness. One though many are one body, and through one power of the Spirit, his word and sacrament can truly become one. Only through that power can many lose their self-centeredness and self-concern and be filled with compassion and love for one another. Real growth in the word and sacrament will enable us to suffer together, to bear each other's burden, and to share each other's sorrows, and so it to be able to rejoice and celebrate, worship, and witness and serve him together. Amen.